I've been around Mankato now for about, 4 days. Is this our fourth day? I'll tell you this. A lot of people don't know about crusades. I've shaken hands with quite a number of people and said, hey, I'd like to invite you out to the crusade. And they kind of look at me with their eyes dilate like, what's a crusade? How many have had the same experience? Raise your hand. Well, I'll tell you this. God's people are going to rise up, and we're going to see a wonderful awakening throughout this entire area. And God can take your life and make you a miracle if you'll follow the steps that I give you tonight. Very few people understand God's plan for their life. Many people know what they've been saved from, but very few know what they're saved for. Say it with me. Many people know what they're saved from, but very few know what they're saved for. Say it again louder because it'll hook in your head. It's a life-changing sentence. Many know what they're saved from, but very few know what they're saved for. Why is it that we have so many millions of Christians in this United States and we're not able to make a greater impact on this country? There's an estimated 30 to 60 million born-again Christians. Why aren't we changing our society? Because a lot of God's people don't understand how God wants to make their life into a miracle. God wants to change you tonight, and if you'll listen carefully, you'll go out of this place a different person tonight. You will. Turn to John, the book of John, chapter 15. Christian, listen. If you're not a Christian, listen. Jesus says, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved people without prejudice. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for you and me. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now underline the next verse. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's not your decision that brings you to God or to Christ. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me draw him. John writes, we love him because he first loved us. It is the Lord who has chosen you. You are chosen. If President Ronald Reagan called you up tonight and said, I'd like to have you represent the people in this area, you would count it a great honor to have the president choosing you to be a representative of this community. But Jesus says, I have chosen you. I'm chosen. You're chosen. Put your hand on your chest and say, Jesus has chosen me. Say it. Isn't that something? He's chosen you. Now, what has he chosen you for? And he said, I have ordained. You are ordained. Many times people will come up to me and they'll kind of talk in low tones sometimes because they know I'm a minister. but you are ordained. God has made you His ministry. Do you look at yourself as an ordained minister, sir? We see our Catholic sisters here. But every one of you ladies are ordained to a ministry. But many people don't feel that. They get up every morning like, well, this is another day, ho-hum. It's like one lady said, life is so daily. And they don't feel that their life is any event. It's because you've forgotten who you are. God has ordained you. God has chosen you. Say, I am chosen. Again, put your hand in your chest. Say, I am chosen. I am ordained. Now, I have ordained you that you should go. The Lord doesn't want you sitting around the premises. He wants you moving out. He doesn't want you just sitting on the pew. What a dull deal. He said, I want you to go and bring forth fruit. He said, I want you to bring forth fruit, multiply, win others to Him. The Lord wants you to go. Get up and go. And bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, that He may give it you. The Lord says, I want you to go. I want you to win the world. And I want you to know that everything you ask the Father for, I'll give it to you. A lot of Christians don't really know who they are. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Starting in the end of verse 5. Jesus says, the scripture says of Jesus, unto him that loved us and washed us from his unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How are our sins taken away? Not with the blood of bullocks and goats and rams and cattle and sacrifices of animals. Our sins are taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why He died. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings. You're a king, a queen. Do you feel like royalty? Do you realize you're a king? So many people, you shake their hand, there's no clutch in it. Hydramatic handshake, no clutch. They kind of go hanging around like, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm not much, but God puts up with me. Listen. When Prince Charles comes to the United States, he's going to be king of Great Britain. And when he walks tall. Is that the way you walk? Proud of what God has done for you? Not proud in your flesh, but proud of what God has done for you? A lot of people have forgotten who they are. The Bible says you're a king, a queen. You are more important than any of the royalty that have ever ruled on any throne of human government here on earth. If the Lord calls you to be His child, don't backslide to become a worldly king. You're a king. So say it. Put your hand on your chest again. Come on, everyone. This is put your hand on your chest night. Say, I am chosen. I am ordained. I am a king. Or a queen. I'm a queen. And then notice what else it says. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. The Lord has made us priests and priestesses. Some people look at me and say, "Oh, you're a Protestant minister." Oh, no, I'm not. I'm a priest. The Bible says I am. God has made all of us priests. And I had lunch with the bishop of Lafayette, Indiana. He opened our crusade in prayer just a week or so ago. And the bishop of Lafayette, Indiana, I sat down to lunch with him and I asked him, I said, "What does the Catholic Church think about this, what the Bible says about us being priests?" He says, "That's a wonderful teaching that all of us are ordained as priests." See, I thought that might be contrary to the church. Priest. Right? Get your hand on your chest again. We're really going for a trip this time. Put your hand on your chest. Say, "I am chosen. I am ordained." And then say, "King or queen." "I am a king." Come on, man. Try that again. Say, "I am a king." Boy, you ladies like it better than the men. Come on, men. This is your last try. Say, "I am a king."
"I am a priest."
"I am a priest." "Priestess, ladies." One more time. Say, "I am a priestess." Now, isn't that going to change how you feel? We used to have a dog at home. We called her Puppy. That only became a puppy. It was just a little terrier. We thought it was going to be a Labrador. And the dog had a complex. Every time you'd walk up to the dog, it would roll over on his back and go, "Tick." And that was the best dog we had. It would kill rats. It was a good hunting dog. It was a good watchdog. If there was any dog that should ever been able to place, it was that black dog. But it had a complex. And we don't have any dog psychologists in South Dakota, so I didn't know how to help the dog. But there's a lot of Christians like that. Their tail is between their legs, and you walk up to them, you know, "I'm living for Jesus." Aren't you a great advertisement? Put your head up. Pull your shoulders back. If you want your life to be a miracle, realize who you are. The Lord has done all of this for us. Isn't that Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Come on, clap, really clap for the Lord. Listen, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Ephesians. And here's what Paul said. He said, I pray for you all the time. I cease not to pray for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul says, I want you to know who you really are. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Paul said, if you just knew who you were, it would change you. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? The power that was wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places. Paul the Apostle says, the same power that worked in Jesus Christ, that raised Him from the dead, is the same power that's working in you and me right now. Clap. Hallelujah. This is why, if you're not a committed Christian, you need to receive Christ, because your basic problem isn't that you're so bad, but you're so dead. What's the basic problem of the dead man? It's not that he needs a new suit or new shoes or cologne. What does a dead man need? Life. He's dead. People come to church and they're always comparing themselves with others. You know, they'll come in and they'll sit there and say, "Well, there's so-and-so over there.
Yeah, there's old Mr. Sludge. He sold me a car with a lousy motor. It's used oil since day one. Look at him. He's a hypocrite. There's Mrs. Papoofnik over there. She's got a tongue long enough to reach from here to St. Paul and back. And so they all look around at each other and they say, well, I'm not much, but I'm as good as any of these. Just because you're a little bit better, that doesn't change the fact that you're dead. What if you went to a cemetery or went to a funeral parlor and you walked in and there are three corpses lying there in a row? They've been lying there for days, and after 3 days, one of the corpses raises up and says to the other two, I don't stink as much as you. Just because you're a little better than someone else doesn't mean that you're really okay with God. You need Holy Spirit, resurrection, life in you. If you want your life to be a miracle, realize who you are. Realize you are God's creation. You were created in the image of God. Say it with me. Put your hand on your chest. Say, I am created in the image of God. And God is successful. And He wants me to be successful too. Now, do you believe that? See, a lot of people think that they're just doomed to mediocrity, that God just wants them just to kind of puddle dump along, and that they're just supposed to live from one problem to the next. You're created in the image of God. And this really gripped me a few days ago when I realized if I am created in God's image, then God is successful and He wants all of His children to be as successful and as holy and as worthwhile as He is. That's right. Come on, clap. That's the truth. That'll change you. Realize who you are. Secondly, realize who's working in you. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now that's what you need, is Christ in full charge of your life, in you. See, you can believe in Abraham Lincoln, but Lincoln isn't in you. You can believe in George Washington, but Washington isn't in you. You can believe in something without having it in you. Let me step back here a second. Mommy, give me a ice cold ice and juice. I'm having Londa fix me up a sermon illustration. I talked with a young man today up in the jail. His mother wanted me to go visit her son. And he talked to me and he said, I don't really understand this about giving your life to Jesus. He said, I thought all I have to do is believe in God. And I told him, I said, the Bible says in James, the devils believe and tremble. It takes more than believing in God to change your life. You must invite the living Christ to come into you by His Spirit and recognize His everlasting presence in you for you to become what you were meant to be. Do any of you believe in apple juice? This is a 7-Up container because the 7-Up people are giving us our free beverages this week. But see, this is full of ice and it's full of apple juice. Do you see the little gatherings of condensation around the edge of the cup now? Do you see it? How many believe there's such a thing as apple juice? Raise your hand. Hold it up high. Okay, at the count of three now, I want to try a little test. Because you go around Owatonna here, and go around St. Peter, you go around Mankato, and everybody says, all you have to do is believe. That's the nicest phrase. Everybody's saying, just believe. Believe, 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 believe. Okay, let's try a little test. At the count of three, you believe, and I'll receive. Let's see if there's a difference now, okay? At the count of three, you believe. Now, this is ice cold apple juice. At the count of three, you believe. One, two, three, you believe, I'll receive. How much did you get? Now, maybe you didn't believe hard enough. I'll give you another chance now. You just try it. Now, you turn on your believer. Reach over there to your friend and turn on his or her believer. Just turn on their believer, okay? Turn on their believer now, okay? They're going to really believe now. Okay? At the count of three, you believe and I'll receive. One, two, three, you believe and I'll receive. Do you think there's a difference between what you've got in you now and what I've got in me? There's a difference. You believe in the juice, but you're dry. I believe in the juice, but I feel great. Because I didn't just believe, I received. And you might believe in Jesus Christ, but the greatest thing you'll ever do in your whole life is when you open up your life and heart and receive Him. Then out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, give the Lord a hand. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. Ha! Amen. That's why in a few moments I'm going to ask you that need to receive Christ to get up out of your seat and come forward and receive the Lord. I'm not asking you to join a church or any religion. I'm asking you to come and say, Lord, I know that I'm not really strong as I need to be. I know I'm not as full of God as I need to be. I've been going to church sitting on a bench, believing. Every week I go in and sing the hymns. I stand, sing hymns, pray, stand. I sit there and listen to the sermon. Yeah, I believe. I believe. And you've done all that believing, but the one thing you haven't done is to open up and make Jesus Lord of your life. For when you invite Christ in and He's in control, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul said, I can do all things. I don't like that phrase because it kind of waters it down. All things is the same as everything. Say, I can do everything through Christ who lives in me. Come on, put your hand on your chest again. Say, I am chosen. I am ordained. I am a king. I am a priest. I can do everything through Christ who dwells in me. Now that's how your life becomes a miracle. When you recognize who it is that's in you. Number three. Recognize your mission. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become His agent. Jesus told Peter, let me read it for you. Matthew 16, you want to read it? Read it. This is really good. Wow, is this good. Whoo! Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I don't know, how many of you have ever gotten so happy in church you shouted? Say amen. Now that's 1/4 of our number. Now the rest of you need to get happy sometime in your life before you die. You ought to shout. Somebody said, I don't like that. I'm reserved. Preserved is a better word. Pickled might even be better. Listen. Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, Blessed art you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot withstand you. Can't keep you out. And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I really believe what the Lord told Peter, he's told all of his church. The Lord says, Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Lord told Peter, and the Lord tells you that when you receive Christ, you become his agent. Do we have anybody here tonight who's an insurance agent? Raise your hand. Anybody here tonight who sells insurance? Is there one here tonight? Come on up here. Come on up here. Good. What's your name?
Kevin LaFramboise.
LaFramboise?
LaFramboise.
That's a French name for sure.
I bet.
What's your company?
A.L. Williams.
A.L. Williams. Have they got quite a few million dollars in force?
Oh, yes.
Are they a billion-dollar company?
Yes.
Are you rich?
Close.
As far as your earthly wealth, do you have as much wealth as the company?
No.
I mean, you don't have 1,000 head of purebred horses?
No.
Do you have a home in Hawaii?
No.
One in Florida?
No. I have one in North Mankato.
Now, what kind of insurance do you sell? Is it life insurance or accident?
Life.
Life.
We usually call it death.
Oh, I see. It's like one lady, her husband took out insurance and he died 2 weeks later, and she came back and she said she wanted some more policies because her husband had such good luck with his.
I'll remember that.
Now, if there was a death in a family and that person was covered by your company, you could act as the agent for your... What's the name of the company again?
Well, we insure through Massachusetts Indemnity Life.
Is that right? And you can come out there and give them a check?
Yes.
You can come out there and say, now we're going to pay for this in full?
Right.
But you're not that rich.
The company is.
There it is. The company. Just like this man, who's a common, ordinary, hard-working man, who's not that wealthy, can work and act in the name of his company, you and I, we together can act in the name of the kingdom of God. We can bind and loose. We can free. We can liberate. We can act. We are fulfilling God's plan here on earth. You're God's agent. Come on, give the Lord a hand. That's what God has done for you and me. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Try it again. Hand on your chest. Say, I am chosen. I'm ordained. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm God's agent to do God's will on earth. Now, when you go out tomorrow walking around,
And you realize you're God's agent.
Wow. Oh, let me read you something good. This is so good. Aren't you glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says, you are the temple of the living God. You're the temple. Say, I'm God's temple. See, that's why we Christians don't believe in drinking, because we don't think it's good to liquor up what God gave us, right? We're the temple. That's why we don't believe in sinful habits, because it breaks down the temple. That's why we don't put in pornography into it, because we figure that's not what God created the temple for, correct? You wouldn't go up to an altar and throw a bunch of pornography around the church altar. Well, then you shouldn't read the stuff. You wouldn't throw a bunch of booze around the altar of the church, because you say, that's the church, that's the temple. Yeah, but you're a more important temple than the church. A fellow wouldn't go out and take and break out the windows of a beautiful church in this town, because he wouldn't want to do that for fear of bringing the wrath of God down. But some boys will go out with a girl and try to see how far the girl will go with sex, and he'll put his hands where he shouldn't, trying to break down her resistance. It'd be far better if you broke out the windows of the church than to break down a girl's virginity. Do you see? That's why we Christians don't really believe in tobacco and all these things that harm us. We really don't believe in eating the wrong kind of foods. We don't believe in all that stuff because we're God's temple. Is anybody still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
You don't hear this preaching much. Put your hand on your chest. Say, I'm God's temple. That'll change you. Then God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. God says, I'll walk right inside of you. For you're my holy temple. Hallelujah. I went up and visited someone in the hospital today with my brother Chuck Deneen, our crusade director. And as I walked into that hospital, I realized I was God's agent. As I walked along, as I walked in and encouraged different ones, that's God walking in me. Not me walking in me, but God in me. And if you begin to live like that, it's going to change you. Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do also, in greater works, because I go unto my Father. Are you doing the works of Jesus, praying for the sick? How many times you pray for the sick and see him healed? That's your job. Do you visit the sick? That's your job. Do you go to the jail? That's your job. You are to do the works of Christ here on earth. God says, I'll walk in them and I'll be their God and they shall be my people. God says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. See, some of you were kind of struggling here a few minutes ago when I started talking about why Christians shouldn't be in a nightclub. You shouldn't be out there in a nightclub. I talked about drinking, I didn't mention nightclubs. Well, you shouldn't be out here nightclubbing and dancing. That's no place, that's an unclean place. A child of God doesn't go to dirty things. You shouldn't be going down here to a dirty movie, and you shouldn't be watching a dirty movie at home on your TV. You're not supposed to be reading dirty books. Anything that's unclean, you don't do, because you're God's temple. God's dwelling in you. God says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Thank God. Do you see now what he wants to do with you? You want your life to be a miracle? Number one, recognize who you are. Number two, recognize who dwells in you. Number three, recognize your task is to be an agent of Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is my last time to do this tonight. Put your hand on your chest once again. Say, I am chosen.
I am chosen.
I'm ordained.
I'm ordained.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a queen. I'm a priest. I'm God's agent. I'm God's temple to do God's work. That's why He made you. Are you a committed Christian tonight? If you die tonight, are you sure without a doubt you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure, when I give the invitation tonight, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Assembly of God, Mennonite, Covenant, Salvation Army, Wesleyan, Nazarene, or what? Church of God? If you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, when I give the invitation, get up and step forward. Come and give your life to Christ. I wonder, is my son Lance around here anyplace? Is my boy Lance here? Lance, are you here, buddy? Is Lance here? He might be with his mother in another part of the building. Because every time I call for my boy Lance, I'm his daddy. And if I call for my boy Lance, if he's ever in hearing range, he'll come. Lance will come, because Lance knows Daddy loves him. And do you know God, your Father, loves you? And God says, I want to be your Father, and I want to make your life a miracle, if you'll just come. Lance, there you are. Did somebody tell you Daddy's calling? Yeah, come on, jump up here. Yeah, you're already slicked down in your running togs. How old are you?
5.
Yeah. We have fun, don't we? Yeah. We went fishing? Did we? Well, say yes.
No.
Oh, you're giving Daddy a bad time. This is my boy, and I love him. And God loves you far more than you ever realize. So when God your Father calls, just come. For the Lord says, unless you humble yourself like a little child, you'll never get to heaven. Bow your heads, everyone. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven tonight, we thank you that you loved us and sent Jesus your Son to be our Savior. And Father, I pray tonight for these who are not sure their soul is saved. Help them to come to you like a child comes to his father, knowing that you're a wonderful heavenly Father and you will bless them abundantly. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer, how many of you in this auditorium tonight know without a doubt if you die tonight, you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Raise your right hand if you're sure. Don't raise your hand if you're not sure that you have peace with God. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, there must be 100 of you that were so honest you would not raise your hand. Now, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus says to come.